I just wonder if Phil Murphy is a fan of Modern Family. He's the host of ESPN Sports Centre. I reckon he might be. He joins us on the line on the Breakfast Club. G'day, Phil.
Hey, boys. I love Modern Family. You know, I can't remember the actor's name, but there's a Phil Dunphy character, which is way too close to Phil Murphy for my liking.
My favorite show. Yes, he's got some quirks, has Phil Dunphy. So if that's you, Phil Murphy, then we're okay with that. We think that's good business. Hey, lots to talk to you about. We haven't spoken to you for a while, and we touched earlier in the week on the news coming through from the Kansas City Chiefs that Patrick Mahomes signed a new 10-year deal. Can you just explain to us exactly what it's worth and how it all came to pass that he is now the richest player in the history of the NFL?
He is. He's the richest player in American sport history if all of the incentives come into pass. As far as what it's worth, if he were to get injured tomorrow and never play another down of football, it would be worth $140 million U.S. Quick math for me, that's about $250 million Australia dollars. Now, if he plays out the entirety of the deal, just by playing and being on the Chiefs roster until 2032, I believe, because he has 2 years left on his current contract, yep, and then the 10-year extension kicks in, then it's worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $450 to $470 million, depending on how the roster bonuses work themselves out. Now we're talking somewhere in the ballpark of $630 million Australia. And if all the incentives come to pass, and that's various things about winning Super Bowls and winning league MVP awards, well, you can tack on another $25 million to that over the life of the deal, bringing it over $500 million U.S. I believe it's just over $503 million U.S., which is somewhere in the ballpark of 715 Aussie dollars, given the current exchange rate. So more money than you or I or all of us collectively could ever count in our lives is going to the 24-year-old quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And how's it been received? Is it one that gets public approval, or is it condemnation because they're spending that much money?
No, in fact, a lot of people are saying the Chiefs might get a good deal with it because it's such a long-term deal and it's not tied to the salary cap. So if the NFL continues to grow at its current rate, the most the Chiefs will be paying on this deal in terms of annual salary and roster bonuses will be about 5 to 6 years from now, when Mahomes is in his late 20s, early 30s, which as a quarterback is very much his prime. And then it'll taper off comparatively to the end. I'm saying taper off because he'll still be getting north of $25 to $30 million a year. But over the life of the deal, he still has the ability to renegotiate, because if he gets 7 years in and suddenly it's below market value, well, like anybody else who's unhappy with their contract, he can decide to opt out and renegotiate the deal. So it's a very player-friendly deal, but a lot of people are saying that the Chiefs may have gotten a good deal on it just because of how the projected TV rights and the international rights in particular for the NFL are expected to continue to grow. I can't say you'll see other contracts in at this level soon, but 3, 5, 7 years from now, the top players in the league may be making this money, and because they've locked in Mahomes for 10 seasons, the Chiefs may actually end up with the better. The real debate is how many Super Bowls would they need to win over the next 12 seasons to justify the money, and most people are saying, between 2 and 4. Easier said than done, but the kid's already 24 years old, has a league MVP, has a Super Bowl MVP, has a Super Bowl ring. Not a bad resume thus far.
Phil, we were actually talking about Patrick over the last couple of weeks for obvious reasons, and it's Super Bowls and Super Bowl rings are one thing, but the way he plays means that he will be, or that the Kansas City Chiefs will be, an entertaining team to watch week in, week out. So it's not just about titles, it's about the entertainment that he generates with the way he plays.
Oh, he's an electrifying player, and by every account, he's an outstanding young man. Yeah, I say young man, my goodness, I sound old. But I mean, he's just an outstanding human being. He's very gracious with his money. All kinds of accounts of when he goes into a Kansas City restaurant, you know, oftentimes he'll get a note like, hey, your bill's been taken care of. He'll pay for the whole place. That's happened on multiple occasions. So he's great for that community, and objectively, he's a fun player to watch. A crazy stat that will blow your mind, and you can go ahead and confirm this, at the NFL Combine, which is the, you know, annual, I mean, the AFL has something similar, where they go out and they test the player's speed and all of those things. when they're coming out of college before they get drafted into the NFL. He ran the same 40 time as Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes ran the same 40 time. Game speed is a different element because that guy is electric on the field. So something, when he puts on that helmet on Sundays, there's something just different about him. And now Kansas City has him now for the next decade.
I wouldn't have thought anyone would have run the 40 time of Peyton Manning, Remmer.
Oh, no. No way. No way. So, Phil, tell us about the restarts for the NBA and Major League Baseball. Obviously, positive tests are increasing in both baseball and the NBA, but also in society over in the States. But both seem to be pushing ahead. I know the minor league baseball season has been cancelled, but Major League Baseball and the NBA are still pushing forward?
Yeah, they are, and they've built into their restart plan a threshold, if you will, for positive tests. You know, for the NBA, they're going with a bubble environment where they're bringing all the players to Orlando, Disney World, putting them at three separate hotels and keeping them quarantined from any outside influence. They're allowed to socialize. Once they're settled on campus and they pass a number of tests, they're able to socialize with regard to social distancing, staying 2 meters apart, you know, with teammates and other people in their bubble. And then obviously when they interact on the basketball court, you can't help but, you know, violate that social distancing if you're going up for a rebound, for example. But the NBA has already had a number of players opt out. You know, the Nets aren't bringing four players down, two of whom had positive tests, two of whom just opted out for health concerns. The Washington Wizards, top two scorers, are not going down. So the NBA has given these guys the ability to opt out of the bubble. They've given them the ability, certainly, you know, with a positive test, to do so with the league's blessing. But the idea is that once they're in the bubble and they don't have any outside influence, that, well, if you're safe, you're safe. But then Adam Silver conceded just days ago, hey, our bubble may have some holes in it, to which I would say, but bubbles don't have holes. That's the whole idea of a bubble. But it does seem like there is a protocol in place. They put out a 108-page manual as far as what will happen if somebody tests positive, what will we do? And it'll be, you know, days of quarantine, and they have to pass multiple tests, and even thereafter, it's another 4 to 7 days of quarantine within the bubble, so being stuck in their rooms. And then the games will start 30 July, 8 regular season games, playoffs tipping mid-August, NBA Finals could go as late as 13 October. So you look at a team like the Raptors, who are coming from Toronto, Canada, crossing international lines. They've been in Florida airspace. If they were to make it to Game 7 of the Finals, they'll be in Florida airspace for 114 days consecutively. That's a lot of time to be away from your families. And, you know, for a lot of these guys who've tried to plan families, this is their off season. A lot of them have significant others who are expecting children. You know, Gordon Hayward's already said, I'm going to have to leave in September because my wife's having a baby. You contrast that with Major League Baseball's plan. Major League Baseball has no bubble. They are 30 teams over 28 cities of mass served around the United States, some of which are currently being decimated by the coronavirus. Others are in comparatively better shape, but their plan has a lot more holes in it and a lot more risk attached. And the thing with them is it's not a restart. It's a start. They never started playing games, but they've reduced 162-game season to 60 games, mostly because of labor disputes. It was more of dollars and cents than player safety. But now they're seeing issues with player safety where teams are getting collectively tested for this virus and not getting results for 5 or 6 days. So they're having to shut down team facilities because they say, we don't know who's fit, who's healthy, and who's not. And every team but one has had at least one player test positive for the coronavirus since they've reconvened. And just given the statistics in markets like Phoenix and Dallas and Houston and Miami and Denver, where they have teams, in Los Angeles, where there are two teams, San Diego, we're not done with there. So that house of cards is in far worse shape than the NBA. Their first pitch is 23 July, so they'll start a week before the NBA, and there's a growing pessimism that they'll be able to get in the entire season.
And Phil, NBA players don't have to have their name on the back of their singlet for this restart. They can have a message or somebody else's name or the like. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's part of the NBA's ongoing effort to be socially conscious. It's very similar to in the English Premier League. On the first weekend of play, all the players had Black Lives Matter in place of their surname on their shirt. The NBA is giving players the opportunity to have a social message, and I think they said the most popular one thus far is equality. So, you know, not to say, like, this is what would happen, but if, instead of James on LeBron's jersey, I would say number 23 and then equality over the top. And you've seen, you know, at some of the service academies in the United States for collegiate athletics at the university level, you know, the Air Force Academy or the U.S. Army Academy, they'll have oftentimes team slogans in place of a surname. So it's not a precedent, but the league is giving players latitude. And I think at this point, something like one quarter of the league has opted into this. So it's just part of the NBA trying to allow them a platform for some kind of social activism while they're in the bubble.
And Phil, what's happening with college sports? Obviously, that's huge business. It's billion-dollar business over in the States. I saw this morning the Big Ten are just going to play amongst themselves and not play other conferences. Can you tell us a little bit more about that one?
Yeah, it varies by league. And the complexity with collegiate sports, it's still, while you're saying it is a big business, and it is, it's still amateur athletics. These guys are not paid. And, you know, so there are complexities regarding health insurance and things of that nature. And very similar to, you know, your states where, you know, you can't move freely now between Victoria and New South Wales. Well, some states have limited ability to move amongst each other here in the United States, especially as the abilities to contain the coronavirus are very disparate among states. So you have 50 U.S. states, you have public universities and private universities and every which way in between. And the season is expected to kick off in 7 weeks. And, I mean, you can just go down the list of teams, Clemson, North Carolina, all these different clubs who have had double-digit players test positive after resuming workouts. Oklahoma's another one. So they're asking these amateur athletes to come and train when, you know, in their free time, they're not socially distancing. A lot of these guys are going out, hanging out with friends and partying and being objectively irresponsible. And then bringing this into an environment where they're tackling each other and working out together in gyms and training together. And so you're seeing mini outbreaks amongst teams. Well, the Ivy League has already canceled their fall sports schedule, us, you know, our fall being September, October here. So they said they will not consider intercollegiate athletics until 1 January. The Big Ten, as you mentioned, already came out and said they're not going to play non-conference games. But for me, I don't understand why it's different for Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio, to play an in-state opponent in Bowling Green, and that's not okay because they're not in the same conference, but then Ohio State can cross state lines and travel to, you know, Illinois, not far from Chicago, and that's okay. So I think people are seeing a little bit of hypocrisy there in saying, you guys don't give a darn about, you know, player safety. This is about dollars and cents. And I think there's going to be increased pressure because you can see the curve. We have not we did flatten it, and then we unflattened it in the United States. So I think you're going to see a lot more leagues follow the Ivy's protocol as we get closer to season kickoff, which is supposed to be 29 August. I think they're going to cancel all of those games and push it back at least a week. But I think as it gets closer, you'll see more and more teams just say, this season is untenable in this current environment. We're sorry. And then a lot of people will lose a lot of money as a result of this. But, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's far more important that these players remain safe.
Well, we understand unflattening of a curve around here in Victoria. Don't worry about that, Phil, unfortunately. But there's plenty happening in the water sport. And the US scene is a very, very interesting landscape at the moment. We appreciate your insight and your expertise as always, buddy. Nice to chat. Look forward to catching up soon.
Great chatting to you boys as well. Stay well.